Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode. It's a special one, so buckle up. We're going to have a good one.
All right, rolling.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
The 365 Message Center Show, we've got to say this because we don't say it often enough. Will we help you plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed? It's on our sticker, Daniel.
It is on our sticker, it's on our logo, but, you know, sometimes we just have to kind of say it to remind everybody, hey, we're here for you. We're here to help you manage those messages and the change that's happening in your environment and really give you some insight on whether or not you should be paying attention to that particular message, but also, you know, really about what goes beyond the words that are on that page of that message.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what we're here for.
Yep. We've got a short list of messages this week, haven't we, Daniel?
Yes, we do. And I think that's probably great for us and for our listeners, because we also want to talk about this little thing called Microsoft Ignite, which is a conference. Now it's virtual. They'll be happening next week, the week of the 21st. I think it kicks off on the 22nd in the US here. So we're going to talk about that as well, not just the message updates. So
yeah, you say little thing. You did mention some figures to me offline about how many have registered. Are those allowed to be shared? No. Okay. Well, we won't say the figure. Just that usually at the venue,
it's a lot.
I think they could get up to 20,000 or 30,000 in person.
Yes, where the official numbers have often included everyone that maybe comes into the vicinity of the building, but it's been in the kind of mid 20,000s, 25 or less, I think. That's my estimate. Again, not official numbers, but just think about this as a conference that everybody really wants to go to, but, you know, sometimes can't, worldwide. So we're talking about orders of magnitude above what normally show up in person, probably. So just think about it. It's going to be a very, and we're going to dive into some of that, what that actually means. There's some implications for you, our listeners. So we'll dive into what that actually means here shortly.
Definitely. Yeah, it's tempting to get into that now, but we'll address the few messages that we do have on our list to begin with, right? Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So to begin with, here we go. Feature update, gallery view in Microsoft Lists, which is MC221952. Microsoft Lists is, as we've seen, it's been released a little while ago, and it's reframing what we might normally access just through SharePoint or just as a list in Teams. It brings it all together in that central place, gives you a few templates to start off with, and certainly makes lists easier to consume. This option, or this view, was talked about in the initial blog post announcing Microsoft Lists and talking about them. And this view is the gallery view, which allows you to see items within a list in something of a gallery, as it would suggest. But another way to describe it is tiles. So if we scoot on down here and have a look at the tiles and what we mean, a list like this with this kind of view, it's ideal for something like products and where there are photos that you want to highlight and show what an item looks like. And then below that, of course, the information that is about the rest of that item, what you want to display on these gallery cards. Daniel, I'm sure, like, because you do a lot of work with SharePoint, your customers and different contexts are going to find this useful.
Most certainly. And I think what I really like about this is showcasing metadata about those information. It's just right there. Instead of being able to see a list and all you see is words, you know, with these cards and with the picture type column, you know, we're able to bring in some images here, but also the rest of the metadata as well to really showcase it on those cards. So that's really what I'm looking for on this one is, being able to have users see the information without having to dig into it or scroll or any of that kind of stuff, we can really present it to them, you know, straight away. So that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Have you got your hands on this before it was released? Like, I've got a couple of questions. Like, can you, in a view, normally you can change up the order or filter certain things. So this is the gallery view. Could I order things based on manufacturer?
So you asked two questions there. Do I have early access? I actually don't have early access. I've seen demos. So I will say that I believe so, that we'll be able to sort and filter just like we would if we weren't showing cards, if we were just showing the list. But I do not have a definitive answer. So don't go saying, Daniel said we could. Why can't we? But I do believe so.
Well, that's the fun part, Daniel. I like to say Daniel told us on the show. You're taking my joy.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Just do that. Just fine. Just okay.
Well, we expect it to be rolling out to targeted release customers mid-September. Expect it to be complete rollout end of September. So it's really, you know, starting now-ish, right? This is mid-September today. 30 right. days have September.
Right.
Standard release rollout will begin end of September and should be complete mid-October. And you'll be looking for that gallery view, and as soon as you choose it, you should be able to see something like this. Of course, if you've got items that don't have pictures, probably won't be as exciting. I wonder what the placeholder image looks like.
Yes, and I always like it when you bust out nursery rhymes or you know, those kids' songs about memorizing how many days months have. I love it. So, yes, this is mid-September. I don't know about the image, the placeholder image, but that'll be interesting to make sure that. And I actually think this is I know this is a little off topic, but this is modern is now. Remember, I've coined that hashtag. I've copyrighted it. But remember, people, we're not creating content that's just words anymore. We really aren't. And this is kind of showcasing that. You know, we used to do announcements in SharePoint long time ago. You know, we'd use an announcements list, and it really was just text. Maybe we could throw some images in there, sure, but it wasn't highlighted as an image. Now, news, people are looking for the image. So if you don't put an image, then it puts people off a little bit. So what I want to all out to say, modern is now. You need to be using images pretty much on all your content, and that's what users are expecting. So don't be surprised if you find yourself where you're doing lists, you're doing news, you're needing images. So, you know, those stock images are really important that Microsoft is enabling in SharePoint and Office. Sometimes you got to use a stock
image.
Even
the icons are great too. I love how you can just search and find things that are related to what you might be trying to communicate. Right. If you want to translate that in line with this next message, no, I'm just sewing some words in there. Daniel, tell us about this next thing to do with
and this might actually be familiar because we've mentioned it before. But this one is new feature inline message translation for Android, MC221732. Now, back in June, I think it says there in the message, but back in June, we talked about iOS, this rolling out. Now it's rolling out for Android. So what this gives you is the ability for you to have translation turned on for being able to translate messages in Teams. So on your Android device. And I think it's very interesting. They're you know, rolling out the new Android device. Microsoft is the Duo. So this will be available for that as well. But being able to translate messages in line, not having to, you know, pop out and translate it with some other service or whatever. So this is rolling out very soon. And I don't understand some of this because it talks about it'll be released to the store in mid-September, which is very, very soon, right? We just talked about this because September apparently has 30 days. as Daryl just mentioned earlier.
Yes, thank you.
But it says we anticipate that the rollout will be completed by mid-October. So I'm kind of thinking this is two parts. Maybe the app has to have it and your tenant has to have the feature as well for it to work. Because wouldn't it just work if I download the app if it was just one part? So I'm thinking it's two parts. You'll be able to get to the settings, go to the general settings, and you'll see translation there. And I think the key is, how do you translate a message? You would once you have it turned on, you would press and hold a message that you need to translate, and then you'll be have that option. Remember, this is turned on by default in your tenant. So if for some reason you don't want it turned on for your tenant, you're going to need to turn it off. But it's already been on for a month, over a month now, for those that are using
you
iOS.
You just press and hold the translate message button?
If once translate is turned on, you press and hold the message that you want translated.
Okay, so we're seeing like on the message, and for those on the podcast, there's a screenshot which shows what it looks like if you did a swipe up train. You can see all the reactions, copy, reply, text, and there's a translate button. But that's a good tip, Daniel. Just hold on the message and it'll translate for you.
Yeah, you hold up and it brings up that pop up and then you press translate. Yep. Yeah. So fantastic. And the progress on this, again, iOS has been released. Android is this announcement that we're talking about. So I like to know about progress, Daryl, you know, of how things are going. And even when I'm filling out, I don't know, forms, for instance.
That's great, Daniel. It almost feels like you've pre-thought these segues out. You've got a script there, I'm sure.
I'm a professional.
Oh, yes. Excellent. Screen readers and everything. Yes, thank you for that. Passing over to me about Microsoft Forms. This is a helpful thing. I think of a story around when someone, an organization calls up and, you know, has a survey for me to answer. I used to, in the early days, spend time answering these surveys for companies that I want to support. And if I can finish that story, what I would do is I would go, I'll answer your questions. And then as they get further into the survey, every time you answer a question, it feels like it's opening up another bunch of questions, and you feel like, well, what's my progress? Are we going to finish soon? Because you know, it's going to be 5 minutes, and now it's been 15. What's the story? This update improves an experience for Microsoft Forms, where some of those longer forms that have multiple pages will have a progress bar. This is MC221880. What a lovely number. Lots of doubles. The progress bar will appear at the bottom of the page. So in this example we've got, and for the podcast, there's a three-page form to fill out. And there's just a bar there that says, you're partway through. Don't give up. Please finish. Now,
don't give up, Daryl. Don't give up.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the main benefits of this is there'll be a number of people that start a long form and go, I'm too tired, you know, sorry, I don't have time for this. So completion rate should improve. What do you think?
Yes. I think this is a great feature, giving you the nice feeling of, when am I going to be done? Because you're right. That is a problem when you're filling out forms, but I think it's actually important for people to realize, if you're creating a form where you think you have to have a progress bar, maybe your form's too long. Hmm. In special circumstances, it's okay to have a really long form. For instance, if someone's filling out a application for something and you're just needing to ask questions, or call for speakers and you're wanting all the detail. You know, I mean, I think there's some examples of when a long form is good. However, you will see a large drop off if you get past a certain number of, and I don't have the behavior science to back it up of like what number it is. But for me, if you're asking more than 6 or 7 questions, I'm probably going to bail on you, because it's just, and I think there's a lot about on a user's perspective of, what do I get out of this? Right. Yeah. So if I get something out of it, a longer form is fine. But if this is just like you're saying, I'm just trying to support you because I like you as a company, or like you as a group, or a whatever it is, then, you know, my time's a little bit more valuable than having to sit and answer a 20-minute form, you know, that is probably not even well thought
out. With
anyway.
Branching questions that could be 30 minutes.
Right. Break it up to different surveys is kind of my suggestion there, is that if you've got 30 questions, break it up into at least five surveys, right? Different ones saying, you know, if someone responds to one, maybe they'll respond to another one, but remember, keep it brief. Mm.
Yep. Good advice. Perhaps with the progress bar down the bottom, they can, they've got a roadmap that they might have little, celebration points every time you go through a page, and then at the end it's this big sort of party, sort of here comes the confetti and you've done it, okay, click here for your prize. That's what Daniel said on the show anyway. I was just quoting him, so.
Oh my.
All right. Enough of that. Okay, so I've got a question though, Daniel, like for this next message. It seems a bit mysterious. Wave two of something. Hopefully you're going to tell us about wave one. What is this all about?
Wave one? No, we're not going to talk about wave one. Today is all about wave two. Mm-mm-mm. So this is deployment schedule available for 2020 release wave two. This is MC221913. What in the world, people? If you are looking at this and maybe you don't deal with this platform, that's a hint as to what this is about, but you don't deal with this platform regularly, then you go, what is this announcement about? The icon doesn't even give us a good indication as to, it's the Office icon, which is kind of funny because it doesn't actually deal with Office. So it's like, what is this? Well, this is all about Power Platform is what this is. For those that are in the Power Platform, they have switched to this wave methodology of releasing updates. And we've talked about that before on the show. So this is wave two of 2020. And this is actually not the announcement about wave two. Wave two announcement was a while back. I don't remember the exact date. Sorry, I didn't look it up. But we've known about it for, I don't know, at least a month. And so this is an interesting one, though. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is a very interesting update, because if you click the first link in this announcement, and this is a very short announcement too, it's just saying, hey, here's the schedule. I'm sorry, schedule? We're getting an actual schedule? Yes, you are. I looked at this and went like, oh, that's kind of a weird update, you know, whatever. And then I clicked the link and I'm like, I wish every update was like, I know they can't do it like this, but I wish every update was like this. Hey, I know on this date I'm getting these features. That's awesome, right?
It is. It's impressive that the product group have managed to schedule it. And you're talking about it being quite specific. You can see that it's within 2 days. So it's like a regular update window. Maybe compare that to an upgrade over the weekend. We're going to do it on these 2 days. It's happening. Look out for it in your region. That kind of accuracy is amazing in a message.
It is. And I just wanted to say one thing, Daryl. There's talking about in the chat room that they got double me. They had echo. So I think that may have been when I was sharing.
Okay.
So maybe we need to mute that if I share again.
Yeah, I'll do that. Cool. All right. We'll fix that as we get to it. But those were our four that we did select to cover because the selections were reasonably slim, right? We get into a section of the show that we often get to talk about before Ignite. We start talking about what is this experience like for scheduling sessions, and I think, as we alluded to at the beginning of the show, we're more on an equal footing now as attendees. Used to be that there was a bunch of people that would, have the privilege of being able to go along in person and check things out. And you could also attend some of these sessions live. They tried to put as many as they could on live via the tech community and some syndication between that and the Microsoft Ignite page. But this year, that is the experience for everyone. And so when we talked about numbers and how many people managed to attend in person, this time round, it's virtual. There are many more thousand people that are attending in virtually. Yeah, we can't say the number, but eventually I'm sure it'll get released. So, Daniel, the Schedule Builder is available now.
It is.
What are some of the things that you would say as tips for those who are attending virtually? How can we prepare for this?
Yeah, I think, first of all, just know that you will have sessions already assigned to you, those keynote kind of sessions. So notes are already there. Also, it is important to know that there are multiple types of sessions. So there's digital breakouts, which are kind of what you would think of as those sessions that are those big breakouts. Not the huge keynotes, but it's the one of product group breakouts, right? So those are the digital breakouts to see specific content around products. Ask the experts. I'll come back to that. Pre-recorded for on demand. So some sessions have been pre-recorded, and you can watch those at any time. I think that's an interesting way that they've done this, that maybe they wanted content available to users, but maybe the people who were would be delivering that content wouldn't be available.
I'll just pause you there. I'm gonna cut to that scene, and we'll just check to see if there's a sound bar that I can mute.
Okay.
I didn't want to have that echo there for everyone. So we'll just check that. Is there two of Daniel? Yes, there is. Daniel's desktop and Daniel's camera. So sorted. No echo. I'm pretty sure of that now. I can
Wonderful.
See only one bar.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. And so those pre-recorded, that's fantastic. The connection zone, and I'm going to let, I think Daryl should talk about that probably. The learning zone, and then the key segments. Those are those, like I said, those keynote type of sessions. So you'll have some of those already assigned. And of course, just like every other event that we've had scheduling, even Ignite, being able to, you know, navigate the different days and filtering our results. I think there's some sessions that I would like to highlight. I'll go through those really quickly, but and tell you why I think we should highlight
those.
I'll
ask you one thing before you get into the sessions.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Was there any different method, or how do you normally choose the sessions? And was there a way that you changed that this year because of the way the schedule is presented?
Yeah. So normally what I do, I go to Refine Results and I pick out the session types, I filter based on those, and then I do by the solution area. So you mentioned before, I do a lot of work with SharePoint in the office space. So I'll go to Modern Work and select, you know, do I want Teams sessions, which you'll notice there's a lot of Teams sessions, or, you know, collaboration or whatever. And I'll select those and I'll go through and select which ones I want to add to my schedule from those immediately. So the ones that I normally focus on that I really want to get the updates to and make sure that I'm up on, I will do that. And then I go back to other areas. So for things like the Power Platform and other things, Azure components, I'll go through and do the same thing. Mm. So that's kind of how I do it in Power BI, the same. So that's kind of how I do it. I also make sure that I have a good mixture. So we have the intermediate, which is 200 level, foundational 100 level, meaning introductory kind of knowledge about a product or functionality or way of doing things, and then advanced, which is more of a deeper dive. Mm. So trying to have that a good mix. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. You know, I think something, because it's now a virtual conference for everyone, the Schedule Builder was highly focused on helping people build a schedule for attending in person, but virtually. Now that everyone's virtual, and we don't have a backpack There's a button now available to us to save something to a backpack. And often what people will do when they're building their schedules is we take the greedy approach first, at least. We go, I want to attend this and this and this, and I don't care if I'm doubling or triple booking or quadruple booking my time. And then you'll go through and you'll thin out the different sessions that you maybe don't want to attend at that time. So this year, it's different.
It is different. And I think that that was one thing I was going to highlight is the session type, especially on the connection zone, is one that you need to be, it's a little bit more about, well, you could see it right there. It's RSVP. So it's not like I can just add this to my schedule and maybe I'll show up or maybe I won't. It's going to be a Teams meeting. So there's a limit and an interactive experience. This is, think about these as sitting around the table and having conversations. There's going to be those that are there to help you start the conversation, guide the conversation, but it's meant to be interactive. So when you click on RSVP, for instance, it does now, thank you, Gavin, tell you, hey, due to this interactive nature of the session, they're going to limit. And so don't go through and RSVP to everything and then go, well, of course I can't go to everything because I'm double, triple booked. So that's why save the backpack is key. And what you were bringing up, right, Daryl?
Yeah, well, I think now that we have a virtual backpack, you can thin out your schedule and have that schedule truly reflect what you're going to attend virtually in your time, your schedule. And then anything that you want to catch up with later, rather than saving favorites to certain sessions, it's just a case of dropping it into your backpack. So that I like that. It's going to help us to manage a schedule there too. There's something about... we'll talk about connection zone and then we'll just talk about how that schedule looks because it's interesting.
I wanted to just highlight as well one thing that was brought up and said in the chat, but is that a lot of these sessions, especially these connection zones, are 30 minutes, but some of them are an hour. And so just make sure that you understand how long those connection times are, and they're across the globe. Remember, this is a worldwide conference. So, I'm showing, showing all of the connection zones here, and here's one at 1:15 a.m., right? So just know that there is sessions that are options for you available when you're going to be awake, probably. Yeah. So make sure that you're watching that. And I feel like another thing that I wanted to mention about this whole connection zone is that it really plays in. I think you mentioned on Twitter, Daryl, about there's really not a path. You know, we're not seeing paths with this
learning
Ignite.
Paths.
Learning paths. But, you know, there's a lot of these connection zone topics that I think do align up with the content that's being presented, but it's a little bit more manual making your own kind of path that you want to take.
Definitely. I'll just quickly take my screen over the top of yours and we'll go have a look at that. So the view of the connection zone, it is more than just the table talks is what they're called, and table topics. Connection zone also takes into account the different areas of humans of IT and some of those great sessions that people have been able to attend and present at to talk about us. And we are more than just IT. We are real people with challenges and identities, and we bring a lot to our role to enrich what we deliver and how we help people. So the connection zone is filled with all sorts of experiences. I'm also interested to see how they're going to deliver things like learning zone and those learning experiences, because some people come along to Ignite and they are attending and they're actually sitting exams as well. They're taking advantage of a discount and getting some qualification.
Those learning zones are going to be interesting because, I think they're going to do some interesting things, and I'm not entirely sure how much I can share here, but they're going to do some interesting things there to where, you know, you can keep the learning going. I'll just go ahead and say that. Mm. But it, so just, I think they're, this is all about, remember, Ignite is really IT pro learning. You know, yes, there's some developer stuff. There's some high level stuff there, but IT pro learning is one of the keys. Mm. And I think developer learning is one that's been added this year as well. Yeah. As a focus area. Yep. But the, you know, the learning will keep going. So I'm really interested in that learning zone.
Definitely. Just back one last thing about the connection zone and the table topics. As Daniel said, it is about trying to provide that virtual experience of getting around the table. We can't bump into each other in the virtual hallways and talk and reflect about sessions. We don't have opportunities to grab a drink with connections and new friends and you know, discuss and really digest what we're hearing within the conference. And so table talks are all about that. And what we expect to see, if we just jump into that category, there we go, 47 different sessions. Like Daniel said, they're 30 minutes long, but the experience of a table talk or table topic doesn't finish there. If I can find a reference to, here we go, one that I'm hosting with five people in total in the APAC area. We've got two other teams that are hosting in the Americas and in WE and EMA. If this loads up, you know, I found the tech community to be a bit slower these days. They've recently hit 500,000 membership or something huge.
It's a huge number.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. The table talk topics, table topics are available as a forum in the tech community, and it will be easier to find and bump into those. Our one is enabling remote work. So at the moment, they're not connected and federated to the session. But the enabling remote work will eventually connect through to the table topic or the table talk over here. So how do the two connect? During the Ignite, if you are interested in talking about some of the announcements or reflecting on how you're currently working remotely, you know, getting past the initial, oh, look, I've got this great desk, but talking about some of the challenges, you jump in here and you could start a conversation thread and get that going. And the table talk, which are these sessions, half an hour long, and it's a chance to actually get into an interactive meeting and actually come off mute, turn on your video, you know, be brave, and actually talk with the panel and with others on the meeting too about what's happening.
Well, and I think you just mentioned be brave. Some people don't want to do that, and that's fine, because remember, there could be up to 300 people in that table talk, so it's a very large table.
It's a bit like walking up to the mic in the session rooms and those really big rooms with 1,000 people.
So these, what you just described is a great way to connect if you're not the type that would like to come off mute and interrupt, or, you know, say, hey, I'd like to say something. And it's only 30 minutes. So frankly, I think it's going to be an interesting experience, and it's going to be a new one. It's new for all of us. So, you know, bear with everyone. It's going to be a new experience for all of us of how those will go. And I find that, hopefully it's not like Ignite last year, for instance, where we had some similar kind of sessions where it was, there were presenters, but they weren't really presenting. It was all about people coming together and bringing their own ideas and their own experiences and enriching each other. Yeah. Well, this is the kind of same kind of thing. And so I hope people understand that when they come to the session, that it's not I'm going to click this link, join the meeting and sit there and consume. It is about, you know, having a conversation and really giving back to each other. So I'm looking forward to those sessions. And so Daryl is doing that type of session. I'm actually doing a different type of sessions. I have two sessions that I'm going to be a quote unquote expert, is what we're going to say.
You got them on screen.
I do. So the first one is called, and so I want to kind of take a step back. Ask the Experts are mostly aligned with digital breakouts. What do I mean by that? Well, I've got one pulled up here. It's called Employee Engagement and Communities in Microsoft 365. That's a digital breakout. It'll be led by Dan Holm and others. I think there's actually going to be more people. But they're going to give a session. And then there's going to be, after that session, some immediately after, and you'll see it here with the timings, this breakout will be 2:15 to 2:45, and I just clicked the wrong button. Sorry about that. Let me zoom in. So it's 2:15 to 2:45 my time. But then at 3 p.m., there's an Ask the Expert. Same title, Employee Engagement and Communities in Microsoft 365. So what's going to happen, those speakers are going to go from that breakout, that digital breakout, and go into this Ask the Experts. And then there's going to be a bunch of quote-unquote experts, people in there that know about this topic, and they're going to be answering questions. This is going to be a Microsoft live event. So there will be a live meeting, and you'll be able to ask questions, and there's going to be several people answering questions behind the scenes, including those speakers. So I want to kind of lay that out, because if you are going to one of these digital breakouts, you might want to go ahead and add to the schedule to Ask the Experts corresponding session.
Absolutely. Because you won't get that in-person experience of any questions come up and see me after the session. This is great.
Yeah. So for this one, I'm actually, and then there's another one I'm doing, which is scale and customize virtual meetings and events with Microsoft Teams. So this one I'm actually doing, I'm part of the Ask the Experts on, so employee engagement and communities in Microsoft 365. I'm doing the session that's Thursday at 7 a.m. Central U.S. time. So
probably more aligned with Europe, right? And
it is. NEA. Yes, yep. That is correct. And then the second one I'm doing is the scale and customize virtual meetings and events with Teams. That is going to be on Wednesday at 5:15 p.m. my time as well. But again, I won't be the only one in there answering questions, but I think those are great sessions to keep in mind. Again, you get your answer, you consume this content, but you like to, pick people's brains. There's going to be product team members, MVPs, RDs. So there's going to be a lot of people in there, answering questions, depending upon the session. So just know that. And that was another tip I wanted to highlight, was those digital breakouts. There's a lot of Ask the Experts that correspond with those digital breakouts. So if you see one, you're like, oh, this is great, take that title, search, and put that in the search bar with quotes, and then you'll see the Ask the Experts as well that correspond. So get engaged. Yeah.
You say that in quotes, it'll be there. Is it also referenced on the digital breakout session page? I know sometimes they link to related sessions.
Yeah, they don't.
Not yet.
No, it's not yet, maybe. But
I'd want that to be there, related session. Yeah.
Yeah,
there it is.
Related.
Ask the Expert.
Yeah,
there it is.
There we go.
Perfect.
So, but that's just one.
Yeah.
So if I click on it, yeah, it just brings me to one. So if I want maybe to do an Ask the Expert at a different time, because there's going to be several.
Might have been linked on that Ask the Expert page at the bottom.
Yep. And so you can see other session times.
Great.
And then when you scroll down the related session, so you'll be able to do the Ask the Expert. So that's great. Thanks for pointing that out, Daryl. And one other thing I wanted to highlight about experience is that you can get your face involved with Microsoft Ignite. So if you go to, I like that, myignite.microsoft.com/user-content, and there's actually a link to this on the Ignite homepage, but you can upload some content showcasing a talent or just a trick or you saying, and it says an example here, hi mom, but if you want to be part of Ignite in a way that you're showcased on videos or just wait screens and stuff like that, transitions or whatever, wherever they're going to use this, you can upload your content and be a part of Ignite and be showcased in the event. There is a deadline. It's this Friday. So make sure that you jump in on this. If you want to upload content, get on it, because you might actually be selected to be part of Ignite in that way. So I wanted to highlight that.
Yeah, I think that's a good tie-in to the humans of IT side of things. Show your human side. Show some of the interesting hobbies and things that you do. Some people collect Lego. I like to roast coffee. Daniel likes to build offices behind him somewhere.
Yes, maybe I'll show some construction.
Yeah, why not? On. Show us some of your construction, man. That'd be awesome.
But that's really the last tip I had before, you know, we go, you know, just kind of showcasing any sessions that we think people should be in. But what about you, Daryl? You got any other tips and tricks
I think,
on this?
I think we'll rock into that. You go ahead and start sharing from your screen there. I do show, it's really easy to find your schedule. I like the sidebar thing that they've, yes, that they've got. Where is it?
Oh, yeah. So the sidebar.
So that's from the My Ignite page. If you go to the, hit
so that. If I go to the session scheduler, mm-hmm, and wait for it to, it wasn't actually clicking for some reason.
Well, just My Ignite. So if you hit the Microsoft Ignite, and there we go. It's a,
yeah, adaptive. So I had to zoom out. So yes. So if you can click on My Schedule and it'll show you your schedule. Yep. I will say, I haven't, this is a different, I don't have a lot on my schedule right now, and that's intentional because this is a different thing. But anyway, it's a different account, but I have, my other account does have a lot of schedule tasks on it, but or sessions on it. But the you can see your schedule at a glance and go through, and when it'll be time, when it's actually happening, you know, you'll see where you are. So you'll be able to say, oh, this is the session I scheduled, you know, put on my schedule for next, and I can click on that. So I think it's great. And then when it finds gaps, hey, you've got a gap. Let's find some sessions. This is a nice link that will filter results based upon this gap. So you can say, I want sessions that are in this gap. Okay, click on it, and you can go for it. So it's pretty cool.
Nice one.
I do want to highlight the Teams blog. Just, you know, be looking at the Teams blog. I'm sure going to have some updates about Ignite, so watch that in the next few days.
Yep.
Just wanted to kind of plug that.
I think too, the different product groups have tried to get out a blog too to say, here's all the sessions if you're interested in this product. They like to wrap it up so it's easy to find, and wrap it with a few other words. So yeah, do check out the blogs and the different technologies that you work with.
So I'm going to rapid fire go through some sessions that I think you should be attending. First up, yes, app development. I know it's kind of crazy, but Scott is a great presenter, and he's also great about bringing other people in and giving them a showcase and a spotlight. So this session, Are We There Yet? App Development in Azure with Scott and Friends. That's a great session. Go to it. The Future of Work, I think, is going to be a great one. It's already added to your schedule. I know that. So yes, it's one of those keynotes, but it's going to be a great session. Just make sure you're there. There's going to be some exciting things shared there. I can't wait to see people's reactions to what's going to be shared there. The Power Platform, their keynote, again, it's going to be James Phillips, who's the CVP over there in the Power Platform area. Again, there's going to be some great things that are shared here, some things that people have been waiting for a long time, I think, are going to be announced. So check that session out. What's new in Microsoft Teams security and compliance? I think this is one where people are catching up to about, we rolled out Teams because we're all remote. We need to be secure. How do we do that? I think this is going to be a good one about what Microsoft does to enable that security. And then this one, just Brad Anderson's title of that session, playing chess on a trampoline, how to innovate in an era of uncertainty.
I love that.
I thought it was just a interesting title.
Picture it.
Definitely this one.
Picture it. I mean, you know, the regular chessboard, forget the magnetic ones. You're just cheating, okay? I mean, that's
right.
Okay. So just regular chessboard. You're sitting there with a friend. You've got it all set up. And then your brother or sister comes along and joins you on the tramp. Doof, you know. Oh, I had four moves planned ahead, and now I've got to reset the whole board.
So I thought this was an interesting, you know, I will say, and as an aside, as someone who's presented at Ignite before and presented at other conferences, Ignite has been one conference that, frankly, I think titles of sessions have been very straightforward and technical in nature, meaning I feel like a lot of the sessions have, you know, they don't really have a lot of fun with the title. And when I saw this, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is interesting. And, you know, it's Brad Anderson. So, of course, I think he gets some leeway to make up his title. But anyway, that's the sessions that I just wanted to kind of highlight. There's plenty of other ones. Don't think that I'm not excited about other ones, but just wanted to highlight those.
Yeah, I think I'll skip highlighting my sessions. There's a few that I have in common there, and I know we're getting close to a long Message Center episode. But just to say, look, go in there and have a good look at what's available. I think that there might still be sessions being added to the schedule. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Yeah. But just have a look at the different ways that we've showed you about how to browse and filter and check out what's available. Thanks for everyone for joining us, and I know it was a bit rough in the middle there as we changed to Daniel's desktop to start with. We are still experimenting a bit with NDI in Microsoft Teams, and bringing various pieces of content into our scenes for our show, but we're figuring it out. And we'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.